from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end this edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminds industry changes instantly. Jordan invites Indonesian investor to make the country as launching pad. And now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo reminded that industry changes from time to time faster, which requires anticipatory steps from all parties. The Industrial Revolution 4.0 will have an impact change of speed almost 3,000 times compared to the first Industrial Revolution. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo on the occasion of Iftar, which means breaking fasting together at the Golkar Party headquarters in Sentul, Jakarta on Wednesday. The president said that the Ministry of Industry has taken steps to plan, prepare and anticipate the Industrial Revolution 4.0, and the government has launched the Making Indonesia 4.0 movement. He also reminded that if rapid change is not anticipated and the nation's children cannot comprehend the change, the condition is even very dangerous. The president again reminded all parties of the changes that are experienced by all countries. Therefore, he called for all parties to jointly face the changes. Indonesia and Jordan have developed complementary relationships in terms of economy in order to develop their bilateral cooperation, which has been established since decades ago. This was stated by Jordan Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Walid Al-Hadid, in a special interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in relation with Jordan Independence Day, which falls on May the 25th. Ambassador Hadid said that the two countries' economic relation is complementary rather than competing each other. Jordan exports the products that Indonesia doesn't have, and on the other side, it imports products that Jordan doesn't produce. To boost the two countries' economic cooperation, Ambassador Hadid invites Indonesian investors to invest in his country.
I here invite Indonesian investors to come to Jordan, invest in Jordan, have a mutual cooperation with their counterparts, to consider Jordan as their launching pad to Europe, to North Africa and Africa in general, to Gulf states and to the world in general. Energy is open in Jordan. Water sector is open. Tourism sector is open for investment. IT sector, industrial sectors, and this is why we divided the country into several development zones.
Ambassador Walid Al-Hadid further stated that in 2016, Indonesia and Jordan trade volume almost reached $260 million. He believes that the two countries have a potential to increase the number to double or even triple in the years to come. To reach it, Indonesia and Jordan launched a business council last year, which will work as a vehicle to boost investment from both countries. Deputy 4 of Presidential Office for Political Affairs Eko Sulistyo confirmed that the appointment of Ali Muhtar Ngabalin is not as special staff of the President, but as a key expert in the Office of the Presidential Staff. This was conveyed to verify the information circulating in the community about the joining of Ali Muhtar Ngabalin into the government. Eko Sulistyo also said that the appointment of Ali Muhtar Ngabalin is based on the decree of Chief of Staff of the President, Muldoko. According to Eko, it is different from the appointment of the special staff of the President who was appointed through the mechanism of presidential decree.
Nah, saya kembali menegaskan bahwa kapasitas Pak Ngabalin itu adalah...
I reaffirmed that Ngabalin's capacity becomes key expert. It can be seen from the decision letter because the decree is the decree of the Chief of Staff. His appointment is a decree of the Chief of Staff of the Presidential Staff Office stationed in Deputy 4. In contrast to the President's special staff appointed by the President, the legal basis is the Presidential Decree. I think this is clear. Eko Sulistyo further said that the appointment of Ali Muhtar Ngabalin is meant to improve the political communication function of the Presidential Staff Office. Ali Muhtar Ngabalin said that he has the required qualification of the Office of the Presidential Staff to improve political communication, especially with the Muslim community and pesantren or Islamic boarding school. In addition to Ali Muhtar, Chief of Staff of President Muldoko also appointed a number of other professionals to assist presidential office. They are an economic practitioner, Hari Prasetyo, as Deputy 3 of Key Expert, and an entrepreneur, Novi Wahyuningsih, as Deputy 4 of Junior Expert, and former Chairman of the Election Commission, Juri Ardiantoro, as Deputy 5 of Key Expert. President Joko Widodo has inaugurated a number of officials at Presidential Palace in Jakarta more recently. One of them is Admiral Siwi Sukma Aji, who was inaugurated as Navy Chief of Staff, replacing Admiral Ade Supandi, who will be retired on June the 1st. After being inaugurated, Navy Chief Siwi Sukma Aji said that he is committed to continuing the programs which have been designed by previous Navy Chief. He underlined that the maritime security sector will become his priority, especially to support World Maritime Access Vision. For us, Indonesia, especially the Navy, maritime access is to secure the maritime shaft distribution line, to secure safe and comfortable security for marine users. Then we also create a safe situation. Everything in the ocean, such as security distribution, navigation, shipping, is a very important task in the future. Before serving as Chief of Staff of the Navy, C.V. Sukma has held various strategic positions, including General Planning Assistant Commander of the Indonesian Military, CNI, and Commander of Fleet Command of the Western Indonesia. In addition, C.V. Sukma also served as Commander General of Military Academy. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Head of National Agency for Counterterrorism, Suhardi Aliu, said that the threat of radical Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, members comes not only from Syria, but also from Marawi, the Philippines. As a guest speaker at the roundtable discussion entitled Anticipating Security Conditions of the Asia-Pacific Region to Reduce Its Implications in National Security Framework in Jakarta on Wednesday, he reminded that Indonesia should be alert because what happened in Marawi had a direct impact on Indonesia. After ISIS in Syria was destroyed, many of its members crossed over to Indonesia. There are also ISIS sympathizers in Indonesia who want to fight against Marawi because the conflict area has always been a magnetic field for them to fight jihad. He also explained that the infiltration of cell radicalism and terrorism is done through the spread of ideology so that it grows and develops in the community environment. Thus, the National Resilience Institute should review and prepare products to prepare personal and community resilience in order to verify any information about radicalism and terrorism, especially in the ideological perceptions of radicalism and terrorism. Korean textile industry company PT Dongjin Textile Indonesia started building a factory in Karawang, West Java on Wednesday, which marks the growing number of business players from South Korea who are investing in Indonesia. The company is the second South Korean company after Hyundai Motor Company, which had already decided to build a factory in Atha Industrial Hill, West Karawang, in December 2017. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM for Seoul, Imam Suyudi said on Wednesday that the South Korean company to build a factory in Atha Industrial Hill is the right decision. He also stated that in addition to being strategic and having good facilities and integrated infrastructure, the region implements a program so-called Click BKPM. This is an ease of direct investment construction. According to Imam Suyudi, through the program of Click BKPM, investors can directly perform the construction and licensing process in parallel. The South Korean company, which produces sneaker shoes textile, will invest 330 billion rupiah with initial production in 2019. In the initial phase, 500 employees are employed. And the last item, the 2018 Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show, or GIIAS, will again take place in ICE BSD City, Tangerang on August 2 to 12, 2018. As many as 37 brands of cars and motorcycles will enliven the show. The 2018 GIIAS Organizing Committee, Rizan Alamsyah, in a press conference in Jakarta, explained that 27 brands have confirmed, 21 brands are passenger vehicles, and 6 brands are commercial brands for 2018 GIIAS. Of 27 brands, Japanese brands will still dominate the exhibition, namely Daihatsu, Datsun, Mitsubishi, Fuso, Hino, Honda, Isuzu, Astra, Isuzu, Lexus, Mazda, Mitsubishi Motors, Nissan, Suzuki, Toyota, and UD Trucks. As for the European brands, are Audi, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Mini, Porsche, Renault, and Volkswagen. Chinese brands to join the show are Dongfeng Sokon, FAW, and Wuling, while the United States, India, and South Korea only represent one brand, namely Chevrolet, Tata Motors, and Hyundai, respectively. And listeners, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminds industry changes instantly. Jordan invites Indonesian investors to make the country as launching pad. And listeners, that was the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Can Terrorist Act Be Finished? In Indonesia, there had been repeated acts of terrorism that killed not only the perpetrators but also the lives of other people around the scene. The acts make the community angry, and why these deadly actions continue to happen and finally pose conflict. The suicide bombing was carried out by a family of six in Surabaya and Sidoarjo, East Java, May 30, 2018, with the target operating 3 charges. It's a pity to witness kids being involved in the suicide bombing. At the limited meeting of terrorism prevention and countermeasures in Jakarta on May 22, 2018, President Joko Widodo insisted that the eradication of terrorism is not enough just by enforcing the law and dismantling terrorist networks to their roots. The eradication of terrorism must be balanced with a soft power approach. President Joko Widodo views that the deradicalization program must be optimized not only to clean the ex-terrorists but also to clean up educational institutions at all levels and the general stages of misleading understanding of terrorism. Consciously or not, terrorists are everywhere. There are a lot of suspected terrorists who had been arrested by security apparatus. However, is it possible that legal action against terrorists can punish them to the root? Although many terrorists had been caught and sentenced, their attacks take place again and again with new perpetrators. So in fact, what should be done? so that terrorism really does not exist anymore in this country. It is terrifying to know that radicalization has entered the world of education from an early age to college. Based on the survey results of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI in 2016, 25% of students and 21% of teachers claim that Pancasila, which is known as the ideology of Indonesian nation, that is plural, is no longer relevant. Meanwhile, the survey of National Agency for Counterterrorism in 2017 also shows that 39% of students in 15 provinces in Indonesia indicated to be interested in radical understanding. Rector of Hasanuddin University in Makassar, Dwiatina Palubuhu, in a limited meeting with President Joko Widodo, said that the radicalization program can be carried out by encouraging students to be proud as a peaceful and tolerant Indonesian people. They should be proud to have Pancasila with humanity values. The forum head of National Agency for Counterterrorism, Suhardi Alius, proposed to restore nationalism through the school curriculum. Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi requires all teachers to teach the real strengthening of character education, not just theory. Most importantly, Indonesian people must always be watchful not to be influenced by misleading and unreasonable teachings. They must be fortified with a correct understanding of the religion that loves peace, because there is no religion teaching its followers to pose conflict, let alone to kill human lives. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over Air Reliever Service, Voice of Indonesia. While we stopped Rainy Pan on May 24, 1989, Sudirman Cup for the first time was held in Jakarta. Sudirman Cup is an international badminton championship for mixed team numbers. Matches men's single number, women's single number, men's doubles, women's doubles, and mixed doubles. The championship is held in every 2 years. The name of Sudirman is taken from a figure's name of Indonesian badminton, Dick Sudirman. He is one of founders of badminton throughout Indonesia. The championship was initiated by Indonesia in 1986. Sudirman Cup was held for the first time at Istora Gelora Bung Karno, Jakarta on May 24 until 29, 1989. At the championship, Indonesia succeeded as champion by defeating South Korea with score 3-2. The next event is that May 24, 1993, is about the Independence Day of Eritrea. Eritrea is a country which is located in the east of Africa. Eritrea borders with Sudan in the west, Ethiopia in the south, and Djibouti in the southeast. Red Sea in the east of Eritrea separates the country with the Middle East region. Eritrea was ever colonized by Italy. Eritrea territory separated itself from Ethiopia and gained its independence on May 24, 1993 after fighting for 30 years. And the last event was in 2000 when Israel retreated from South Lebanon. After 22 years occupying South Lebanon, precisely May 24, 2000, finally Israel forces retreated from the territory. In 1978, Israel forces for the fourth time attacked Lebanon. At least Israel built security line in the South Lebanon territory and formed a semi-military group. The group consisted of Lebanon, Hailin, Shia, Hezbollah group conducted campaign to fight against them until pro-Israel group surrendered. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to the segment of My Indonesia. Today, we'll bring you a topic. Indigenous Forest of Tabanan Bali is participating to preserve wild animals. Indigenous forest as a valuable area is important for indigenous peoples, cannot only serve as a source of community's economy, like the social forestry scheme, but also serve as a place or habitat for wildlife conservation. To realize it, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, through Bali's Natural Resources Conservation Center, BKSDA, along with Friends of National Park Foundation, conducted animal release in Pura Besikalung and Pura Petali Indigenous Forest, Panabal Sub-District, Tabanan Regency, Bali Province, on Saturday, May 19. Dadang Wardana, Head of Conservation Center of National Resources, BKSDA Bali, said that the wild animals are 7 porcupine species or Hystrix brachyura, 1 pangolin, Manis javanica, 1 parrot eagle or Milpus migran, 1 sancapatik or Piton reticulatus, and several species of snakes. He said that the animals were the result of confiscation and submission of the community, who have been rehabilitated at Bali Wildlife Rescue Center and Bali Reptile Rescue. Dadang Wardana moreover added, the release of animals is one of conservation effort to prevent extinction. He also said, in addition to habitat adjustment, the people's commitment to keep the animal preservation become consideration of the chosen Pura Besikalung and Pura Petali as the release location of the wild animals. Animal Rescue Center of Bali and Bali Reptile Rescue are the agencies under the management of Pecinta Taman National Foundation. Also present to support the release activity were representative of the Military Rayon Commander, Chief of District Police and Head of Panabal Sub-District, academicians of Udayana University's Veterinary Faculty and Babahan Village Community, Panabal Sub-District. That was today's My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. President Joko Widodo reminded that industry changes from time to time faster, which requires anticipatory steps from all parties. The Industrial Revolution 4.0 will have an impact change of speed almost 3,000 times compared to the first Industrial Revolution. Indonesia and Jordan have developed complementary relationship in terms of economy in order to develop their bilateral cooperation, which has been established since decades ago. This was stated by Jordan Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Walid Al-Hadid, in a special interview with RRIWO Service Voice of Indonesia in conjunction with Jordan Independence Day, which falls on May the 25th. Deputy 4 of Presidential Office for Political Affairs Eko Sulistyo confirmed that the appointment of Ali Muhtar Ngabalin is not as a special staff of the President but as a key expert at the Office of the Presidential Staff. President Joko Widodo has inaugurated a number of officials at Presidential Palace in Jakarta more recently. One of them is Admiral Siwi Sukmaaji, who was inaugurated as Navy Chief of Staff replacing Admiral Ade Supandi, who will be retired on June the 1st. Head of National Agency for Counterterrorism, Suhardi Aliyu, said that the threat of radical Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS members, comes not only from Syria but also from Marawi, the Philippines. Korean textile industry company PT Dongjin Textile Indonesia started building a factory in Karawang, West Java on Wednesday, which marks the growing number of business players from South Korea who are investing in Indonesia. And last item, the 2018 Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show will again take place in ICE BSD City Tangerang from August 2nd to 12th, 2018. And listeners, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce Weh Island Tourism Park. Stay tuned. Island is the largest island compared with other small islands in Aceh. The island is also the most steep island of Indonesia that provides a very beautiful scenery and has been known among local and foreign tourists. If you want to have vacation to Sumatra, the island can be one of your choices to visit. Listener, you can visit West Sabang Island by air transportation. Initially, you have to go to Sultan Iskandar Muda International Airport in Blang Bintang Subdistrict, Aceh Besar, Aceh Province. Or you can go by plane to Kuala Namu Airport, Medan, North Sumatra, then continue to Banda Aceh. However, it requires a land trip for 12 hours from Medan to Aceh. From Sultan Iskandar Muda International Airport, the journey continues to Uliuliu Port for about 1 hour. There are two alternative modes of transportation to get to the island, by ferry or speedboat. Weh Island has a fairly good tourism development. You can visit many attractions there. The attractions are mostly marine and beach tourism objects such as Iboe Beach, Zero Kilometer Monument, Kasi Beach, Tapak Gajah Beach, Sumur Tiga Beach, Anoi Tam Beach, Ujung Krom Beach, Pasir Putih Beach, and Rubiah Island. There are many diverse species of fish and corals with beautiful colors. If you like to enjoy underwater scenery, Weh Island has the best location for it. In addition, there are available lodging accommodation and other facilities for tourists. So, enjoy your vacation in Weh Island Tourism Park in Aceh. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Weh Island Tourism Park. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tobati language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tobati language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tobati speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tobati language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tobati language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tobati language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tobati language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tobati language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tobati language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tobati language. Engu, engu, in English. I, entrica, entrica, in English. They, one, want, in English. Eat, nasre, nasre, in English. Popeda, moghot, moghot, in English. Mount, recau, recau, in English. To hike, rora, rora, in English. Yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tobati language. Nu nasre want. Nu nasre want. In English. I eat popeda. Rora entrica mogot recau. Rora entrica mogot recau. In English. Yesterday, they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tobati language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present various Indonesian religious songs by Krisya and Haddad Alwi. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Ketika Kaki dan Tangan Berkata by Krisya. Enjoy the song.
Akan datang hari mulut dikunci, kata tak ada lagi. Akan tiba
The song Ketika Kaki dan Tangan Berkata was composed by an Indonesian writer, Taufik Ismail, reminded all of us that in the hereafter, human must be responsible for all charity deeds. The song Ketika Kaki dan Tangan Berkata also ends with an appeal to God to stay permanently on the right way of life. The next song entitled Damai Bersamamu by Krisha. The song Damai Bersamamu was released in 1996. The song tells about expression of gratitude to God Almighty. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Damai Bersamamu by Krisha.
Jangan biarkan ku jauh dari dirimu. Akan ku tempuh semua perjalanan agar selalu ada dekatmu. Biar ku rasakan lembutnya kasihmu.
The next religious singer we will present to you is Haddad Alwi. He was born in Surakarta on March 13, 1966. Haddad Alwi has the best-selling religious album in the history of Indonesian music. He started his musical career from the concern about the lack of a religious theme song. So, no wonder if Haddad Alwi has released a variety of religious songs for children in a duet with some little artists. Haddad Alwi's career began in 1997 with two Salawat albums, Nur Muhammad and Ziarah Rasul. Then from 1999 to 2004, Haddad Alwi collaborated with Sulis to produce an album entitled Cinta Rasul, Volume 1 to 6. Cinta Rasul album, also called as the best-selling religious album in Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Marhaban Ya Ramadan and Ya Habibi by Haddad Alwi. Enjoy the song and happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Marhaban ya syara Ramadan ya syarosia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hamba-Mu yang Kau cinta. rindu kita tak terkira. Rindu cinta kasihnya. Sedekah untuk yang papa, Tuhan ampunilah hamba.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.